Welcome to the Crosspoint Leadership Podcast, where we cover leadership from every angle, from church life to home life and everything in between. Welcome to episode 4. Let's jump right in to this episode's content. You know, when you think about being a leader, you know, you're passionate about what you're doing, and that's a function of knowing that ultimately everything rises and falls with leadership. I think that's probably where the stress level changes from being a follower to a leader. You can never fully grasp what it is to lead something until you lead something. You know, we can look at leadership and people who are leading, and we can say, well, if I was in leadership, this is what I would do. Well, the truth of the matter is you really have no clue what you would do until you do it, until you have that load on your back. And so some of the decisions that leaders make sometimes are questioned. And you know, we sometimes like to say, well, why did they do that? Or that doesn't make any sense. And I'll be honest with you, I've said the very same thing. And there is a good chance that it doesn't make sense to you. And that's because you don't see what the individuals who are out front are seeing. And so sometimes it can look like their decisions are not the right decisions. And so when you're thinking about leading people, it's so important that you communicate clearly what you're seeing in front of you so that the decisions you make don't have a negative impact on those that you are leading. So in this episode, we're going to talk about creating an ownership culture within the team that you lead. Ownership just means having full claim. It means it's rightfully yours. That's, yes, a positive, because you could say I can do what I want to do, but also it can be a negative, because if it fails, then you're to blame. Many times, if I'm talking to people about church leadership, or you know, here at Crosspoint Leading, I'll say it kind of facetiously, but I will say, ultimately, it's my name that goes in the paper. You know, if something good happens, well, I'm praised for it. But if something bad happens, then I'm ridiculed for it. And that's just the price of leadership. But you see where ownership comes into play there, because not only do I have, you know, arguably all the rights to make, you know, decision X, Y, or Z, but also I'm responsible for the results of those decisions. And so having full claim, that's what ownership means. It means having authority, power, and responsibility. And so here's a question that you need to think about. And I think even for your team, if we think about how someone following you might feel, and that's important to do, you have to think about this. How would I, or as a follower, how would I act if I was totally responsible for the success or failure of what I'm leading? So how would I act as a follower? Then as a leader, right, we try to communicate that. We try to communicate that ownership to our team members, saying, if you were fully responsible, I want you to feel the weight of what it would feel like to lead. And so we want to generate within the people we lead a sense of ownership, right? So we want the people we lead to feel as responsible about the success or failure of what we're leading as we do as leaders. So a couple questions that I like to ask, and I think would be good for all of us to ask those that we lead, would be, how would you and your team act if you were not responsible for anything, right? What would you do? Well, you wouldn't care about, you know, your actions and what they generated. You would just show up when you wanted to show up. You would say what you wanted to say because, you know what, I'm not responsible. And a lot of times our leadership methods can generate within the teams that we lead that type of response, which is they're not responsible for anything. There's no ownership. And I'm saying all that to say that I believe that that is a function of how we lead. So we are wanting to create a culture where ownership is not just found in the leader, but it's found in the team, right? So everyone feels like they're responsible for the success or the failure of the project or the department or whatever the case might be. So ownership is a function, it's not a function of delegation. It's a function of empowerment. And here's the difference. The difference is to delegate is to tell somebody, you go do this. That's delegation. You give them a list of tasks to go and accomplish. And so, you know, we've all done this. Maybe you've done this with your kids. You tell them, okay, I'm going to be gone. And when I get back, I want, you know, you to have the lawn mowed, or I want you to have taken out the trash, or, you know, that's delegation. That's, you direct a person to perform a task or to act on your behalf, and then they report back to you. Now, that really doesn't create ownership. And there's a subtle difference between delegation and empowerment. And I want you to catch this. To empower someone means you don't direct them, but you literally give your power over that situation away to them. You actually give them authority to make their decisions. You're not making decisions for them. You're giving them the authority to make their own decisions. Now, I can just tell you that's a scary thought, right? And a lot of times as leaders, that's something that we resist. Because why? Because we have a sense of ownership. And we know that if they go out and make a dumb decision, well, it negatively reflects back on us as leaders. And again, everything rises and falls with leadership. And so that's a scary thought, right? We're resistant to that. And so what I'm trying to say is when we delegate, we don't create ownership, because delegation is a list of tasks that the leader gave. So the leader made the decision. So the leader's responsible for those decisions, right? It goes back to the question we asked earlier about how followers who don't have ownership, how they're not responsible for anything. So they may show up whenever, they may say whatever, right? And so that's the difference. You know, I like to say, it's kind of like you show up for work, you punch a time clock, you do what's on the list, you go home. That's not ownership. Okay. And that's what we're trying to move away from. We want to empower people. So let me read this. Delegation is like putting a dog on a chain. That's what it's like. Yes, it can run, but it can only run where you've decided it can run. It has strict limitations on what it can do and where it can do it, right? I guess you could say it's kind of free, but it's really not empowerment for the dog, right? Empowerment for the dog would be that internally he understands where his home is, right? And he has internal boundaries. So he can literally be free to run and play when and wherever he wants. And that takes a great deal of trust. And here's the bigger piece to this. It takes training, time, investment in that animal to create within it an understanding of its boundaries. But within those boundaries, it can do whatever it wants to do. And so to generate an ownership culture, we have to really move away from just assigning tasks to empowering people. And the difference is we have to train, right? We have to continually communicate. We have to be very clear with what we expect and why we expect it. Here's what we want. We want the people that are on our teams to see what we see. And when we turn right, we want them to turn right. Where we would turn left, we want them to turn left, right? Empowerment moves away from having to continually tell people, this is what I want you to do. And so again, that takes time. It's again, you go back to the dog illustration here, and we see delegation as simply like putting a dog on a chain. Yes, it can run, but it has a leash. right? Empowerment trains the dog with internal boundaries so that it understands the big picture and it knows this is my area of operation. And within this area of operation, I can do what I choose because I understand the vision, the big picture, right? And so that's important for us to catch as leaders. And again, an ownership culture is one where individuals are empowered. And when you have individuals empowered, here's what it does for you. It takes away from the time, effort, and energy that you have to use in trying to think for other people. That's what you don't want to do. You do not want to continually have to think for other people. That's a poor leadership model that will bottleneck your progress. You can't answer all the questions. You know, you're not going to be able to keep up with all the nuances of what's taking place in what you're leading, especially if it grows, if it gets out beyond really what one person can handle, which is what we're striving for, is what leaders, you know, we want to expand our capacity. If that happens, then we're, you know, it really starts to not only bottleneck progress, but then it impacts the leader. You know, you get overwhelmed and burned out and all of those things. So we don't just want to give people tasks. We want to empower them. To empower them, we have to train them. That's so important. They have to see what we see and they have to think like we think. Okay. You're not telling them what to think, but they've learned now, oh, that's what we need to do. That's why we need to do it. Here's why it lines up with the vision and here's why it's important that we do it. You know, that's what we're going for. So let me share this. A team with a culture of delegation is made up of people who only focus on doing what is best for their boss, their leader, or their direct report. And they only think as deep as it takes to accomplish the next task on the to-do list. That's a shallow team. And all the effort, the thinking effort, rests upon the leader. But a team with a culture of empowerment is made up of people who have taken ownership and responsibility for the overall success or failure of the organization. So it's not just, hey, I got my job done. Hope you get yours done. That's not an empowerment culture or an ownership culture. All right. But when they are concerned with the overall success and they're actually looking at other areas, they're seeing how their area of responsibility impacts another area of someone else's responsibility. And they're trying to help to make the whole organization better. That's empowerment. That's ownership. Thinking about the big picture and how their role relates and impacts to the overall vision and purpose. If you've got multiple people doing that, you have really created something that can make a difference. But again, you know, this takes time. It really does. Yes, you have to trust a ton. And yes, it's scary to empower people to make those decisions. It is. But the reward is so great. It is so great because you move beyond celebrating tasks getting done. You move into being able to celebrate people who have been developed and really stepped into a new understanding of their place in the organization. And so that transition right there is what you as a leader are working to do. All right. So here are 10 things I've got listed here to help in developing and maintaining an ownership culture. So first, number one, you've got to start by providing clarity. You've got to provide clarity to the entire team. You've got to continually cast vision. You've got to constantly share the big picture. You got to get people's eyes up over the horizon and move beyond the 30-foot view to the 30,000-foot view. And that takes repetition. You've got to make sure everyone understands what the goal is. What are we trying to accomplish? What is a win? We don't focus in on just one piece. We talk about one piece, but then we pull back and we get a big zoomed out view and say, here's why this piece matters. Here's how it connects to this area. Here's why your job is important. And so we do that, and that creates, again, not only ownership, but that that empowers that individual with more information to make better decisions. So number one, we want to start by providing clarity to the entire team as to what the big picture is. What's the win here? Number two, be sure that each person understands their role. What have you asked them to do? What is their area trying to accomplish? Again, this is connected back into number one, but we need to communicate expectations. All right. This is what I see as a win for you. This is what I need you to do. This is why. This is how it fits into the big picture. Number three, we need to define what a goal is and what an expectation is. So clarify even further. Notice how we're building one upon the other. Clarify further the role of each person. Maybe you have to write out a job description. Maybe you need to take some time to dive down into that and match their role with maybe even a title that makes sense, so that they're constant. They just know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You would be surprised at how much is lost in communication. You would be surprised. It's why we need to say, okay, do you understand what I expect of you? Do you understand why I'm expecting this of you? Do you understand the goal? Do you understand the big picture? Can you tell me what you see your role as being? Can you tell me why that you need to be doing this? Can you tell me what happens if you win and why that's important and what happens if you fail? That just kind of repetitive communication is so important. Number four, you need to set them up for success by publicly affirming their role with the rest of the team, right? So you need to communicate to everybody. This individual is doing this. This is what they have been asked to do. This is why they're doing it. They're the lead on this. And you just give them that position as well. Number five, you have to understand that there's always a risk when you empower people. It's just part of it, you know, and we have to accept that. We can't be afraid of the risk. We can mitigate risk by kind of putting scaffolding around and boundaries so that a fail doesn't sink the entire ship. But also, there's going to be risks. Expect things to go wrong. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. You've got to expect that at some point, someone's going to do something that's not exactly the way you wanted it. And maybe not even not the way you wanted it, but the outcome wasn't what you wanted. Because it's not as big of a deal to me if someone does something different than me as it is if they get a different result. Because the result is really what we're going for here. So, okay. Number six, you can reduce the potential for things to get off track by being a strong coach. So continually be there through the process. Okay. You know, let them work a little bit, come in and give some feedback. Let them do something, give some feedback. We cannot assume as leaders that everybody understands fully what we want unless we tell them what we want. We've got to continually communicate. I don't know if you've seen the pattern here, but really number one on 10 things to help in developing and maintaining an ownership culture, start by providing clarity. I mean, everything on this list so far is a function of communicating vision over and over, goals, responsibilities, expectations, and it's just making small adjustments. That's what it means to be a strong coach. You come in and you say, you did great here. This is awesome. Let's try to tweak this just a little bit to get a little bit better. So again, all about clarity. Number seven, everyone needs to feel as if they matter. You know, this is important for us at Crosspoint because we want to make everybody feel like a somebody. Everybody needs to know that what they're doing is contributing, that they have a voice and that they will be listened to. They might not always get their idea used, and that happens a lot. You know, I don't always get my ideas used, but we want to make sure that everyone has a chance to speak. And so in your teams, you want to make sure that you do that. There, you know, we've heard this said, there's no I in team, but I want to challenge that and really push against that and say there should be an I in team. If you want to create an ownership culture, there better be an I in team. I is a function of ownership. I am responsible. That's how I see it. So the notion of, well, someone can sit on the team and, you know, be in anonymity and not contribute. And then when it goes bad, they say, well, I wasn't part of that. That's not creating a culture of ownership. So there should be an I in team. Number nine, lack of ownership leads to a team of yes men. And yes men will say yes to things that need a no. Now, this is important. Teams that do not push back on ideas are teams that will get in trouble. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a leader and you have people who will not challenge your ideas, and it, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get people to do that at times. You have to create situations where they feel comfortable doing that. And that's something that everyone has to learn. But I'm telling you, as awkward or as challenging as it might feel, you need people to say, hey, wait a second. What about this? I don't know if that idea really works right there. Look, can we try this? Hey, to say no to an idea, you don't have to be rude about it. And I think collaboration is the key here. So lack of ownership leads to a team of yes men. People say yes to whatever just to move on. And we don't want that. We want someone to speak up and say no. So, and then finally, number 10, you must have equality in conversational turn taking. So we need to give everybody an opportunity to speak, right? If you've called a meeting with your team, you need to be strategic about the people that you bring in on that meeting. And if you bring them there, then you don't just bring them to set, you bring them in to contribute. If you don't feel like at this time that they need to be in that meeting, then don't bring them in. And that's fine. That's not the issue. But if they're there, you want to allow them to contribute. So, you know, those are important things. All of this creates a culture of ownership. When people know they matter, when they know the vision, when they know the direction they're going, I'm telling you, it can make a world of difference. So think about that with your teams. When it comes to creating an ownership culture, we don't just want to give people tasks. We want to empower people to make decisions, to think like we think as leaders. And yes, that takes time, training, and there's risk involved as well. But I'm telling you, the strongest teams are made up of individuals who are free to think and decide on their own. They see the 30,000 foot view, and they're all working together, thinking about every other department, the whole picture together, not just their area. All right, that does it for this episode. Go think about those things, and we'll see you next time.